just feels wrong. And I know everybody does things. Okay.
Wait a minute. This sounds like a confession. What's happening here?
Elton John had a double knee replacement last year.
Yes.
And it's just come out that he's had his kneecaps made into jewelry.
Yeah.
The right one became a necklace and the left one was turned into a brooch.
I read this story. It is very interesting. It's a bit strange, but I mean, on the other hand, they are his bones. Right. If it was somebody else's bones, that would definitely feel weird. And if it was like an endangered species or something, that would be wrong, too. If he stumbled across something that a coyote ate on the hills behind his house, I guess it would be a little bit macabre.
Here he is talking about it.
When I had my kneecaps removed, I asked my surgeon if I could keep the kneecaps. And then I rang you and said, if I gave you the left and the right kneecap to do what you want with them. My surgeon said I had the worst knees he's ever operated on. That hole was actually in my kneecap. And then the other one is a brooch.
It's an incredibly difficult job to get the gold following the shape of something quite as...
unusual?
Unusual, yes. Gold is about the only material you could do that in.
I honestly think these are timeless pieces that will last for centuries.
Are they?
Longer
are they
than
though?
His knees, though. Two people that would be the most at home with a brooch made out of bone from Elton John. Elton John and my grandmother.
Right.
I mean, it's again creepy, but you can tell everybody these are my knees.
Oh, very funny.
I mean, it's, you know, I mean, he's rich. He's eccentric. So, they're his kneecaps.
But people have been using for many, many years teeth that have been turned into rings or pendants. Mm-hmm. Or bones, like he's talking about, made into rings too.
Yeah.
The ashes of animals and humans that are made into jewelry. I understand why you want to keep that person close to you.
Sure.
But something about that just scares the heck out of me.
Well, it doesn't help that a lot of these civilizations who did that with jewelry, some of them, there were rumors that they ate these people.
No.
Or sacrificed them or whatever.
Why
yes.
would you even go there?
I'm just saying.
We're talking about Elton John's knees. You're talking about eating people?
Listen, I'm saying that the Mayans, they had a lot of that jewelry, okay? And we've heard the stories, all right? You can see the movies. They're very graphic.
No, if I pass away, I don't want any of my body parts turned into jewelry.
All right. It's fair enough. What else could you turn kneecaps into? Coasters?
I guess that
right?
would be
like for right. cups, right?
That would be good.
Earrings. Earrings, not a bad idea.
Like one on each ear.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if
that
you
makes sense.
Took two of Elton John's kneecaps and put it together, could you have like one super kneecap that if I had it installed on my body, all of a sudden I'd be able to play the piano and compose a lot of songs?
Remember when I tore my ACL and they had to take the hamstring out of both my legs?
Yes.
What if they took the hamstrings out of both my legs and they made like
Elton John's kneecap?
Well, no, I was going to say like a necklace. Would you wear it? Would you wear my hamstring necklace?
It's disgusting, but I mean, I suppose I'd have to. Little Lady Gaga-esque.
I don't know. Do you go to a music festival if it's 50-50, if the headliner is going to show up?
Mm-hmm.
Trending is powered by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/Anna and Raven.
Here's the good news is that people go to this one no matter who's playing, and I'm sure they're still going to sell a million tickets. And the other two headliners, they're going to show up.
Coachella is taking place April 10th through the 12th, and the second weekend is April 17th to the 19th. First up.
Oh, he's supposed to go first, too?
Justin Bieber. Does he show up? Does he show up with all his stuff?
This is what I call the DMX theory, is I had friends that would buy tickets every year to DMX while he was still alive. Rest in peace, my friend. They would always think that he was going to show up, and I would tell them, dude, he's not going to be there because he would run into some trouble or he would lose his mind and he would never be up in there. And with Justin Bieber, I think it's the same thing, is that he has fallen apart the last couple times there's been major shows. Coachella's a huge weekend. Here's the thing that's working for him showing up, though.
Yep.
He's broke. Even though his wife just sold the business for $1 billion, he's got to pay back Scooter Braun like $24 million.
It's interesting, and I'm curious to see what happens. And also, I wonder, you know, a lot of his new music hasn't hit like his older music
because
has.
It's not great.
So here's the question. Is he going to play the old stuff? Like, you go see Justin Bieber, do you go for the new stuff? Or is he going to... I don't... Because I certainly don't think he's playing this.
No, that one's a little bit old. But I want him to bring out like Nicki Minaj and different people. Like I want him to have fun. I don't know whether or not that's in him at this point. I hope it is.
Also performing.
Oh, yeah, she's going to be there.
Sabrina will show up.
Yes.
Sabrina Carpenter will be there.
And she'll give them a great show.
I agree. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then also, Carol G is going to be there as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to, it sounds like a great show, and even all the supporting acts are super great.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, does Justin Bieber show up?
You know what? With Coachella, it's like a thing, like it's a happening, right? And if he doesn't show up, they will slide somebody in there. Somebody else will show up and perform in that slot.
Also trending, sad news.
Bill of Rights? What Bill of Rights? We don't have any Bill of Rights. We don't have free speech in this country. We never will have.
Robert Redford died yesterday.
Bill of Rights? What Bill of Rights? We don't have.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge loss for old Hollywood.
You know, I have to be honest. I know his name. I knew his name. I knew he was a major, major movie star. I did not know that he founded the Sundance Music Festival, Sundance Film Festival. I had no idea.
What's amazing is that this is a guy who was in so many huge films with huge actresses and actors of the times. He was never afraid to be with other big stars in movies. Only nominated for one Oscar, only won one Oscar, only nominated one other time, I think, and it was as a director or a producer. The Sting, one of the best movies ever made. With him, Paul Newman, what's his name? Robert Shaw from Jaws, Quinn, just amazing film. And Out of Africa, him and Meryl Streep. I mean, that's, if you like Taylor Swift, Wildest Dreams, that's what the whole video is kind of like an homage to it. It's a gorgeous film.
Speaking of like having incredible relationships on screen, one of the most famous, and you already brought it up, is with Paul Newman.
Yeah.
Well, the way I figure it, we can either fight or give. If we give, we go to jail.
I've been there already.
No, we'll jump.
Like hell we will.
Well, we got to. Otherwise, we're dead.
Get away from me.
Why?
I want to fight him.
That's from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
I mean, those guys were timeless movie stars. They don't make them like that anymore.
It's true. Imagine standing on Wall Street with a sign begging people to give you a job.
That's the thing, though. If you're looking to get somebody's attention, you want to do something that's unique, because we all know nowadays it's really difficult to even get an interview.
That's why Sam Rabinowitz went viral over the weekend. Sam, I saw you were in New York City for a wedding, right?
Yeah, I went there to go to my cousin's wedding. It was a beautiful wedding, and I was just trying to make connections a little bit, not only at the wedding, just in general. So I knew I had to do something different, and I was just thinking in bed, like, what do I do? How do I get my name out there? I called Staples and explained the exact situation, like, hey, I'm going to Wall Street with a sign. Can you help me?
So you go to Staples and you get this life-size poster that you're wearing on top of you that basically is begging people for a job. Said you tried LinkedIn, said you tried everything. Did anybody pay any attention to you, and did it work?
Barely anybody paid attention to me, to be honest. Maybe one person scanned it, and then there was three or four other interactions, and I was there for 3 hours. Nobody really paid attention to me. A couple good looks, a couple God blesses. But overall, I would say I didn't really get that much traction.
But something had to happen that was good, Sam, right? Or else we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
You did meet some influential people. Did it lead to a job?
So there's the mistake. I'm sorry. Yes, an influential person met me. I didn't know who he was at the time. He gave me great advice. His name is Peter Tuchman. He's known as the Einstein of Wall Street because of his haircut. And that was like my first interaction that kind of got me going. I was like, all right. Maybe the sign was worth it. So later on, a man in a suit kind of strolled by and gave me a little smirk, nodded his head. I went up to him. I talked to him. I shared a little bit of my story. So I was like, listen, I need a job. I'm open to work. I want to make it happen. Here's this about me, that about me. He said, okay, connect with me on LinkedIn and send me your resume. I also told him I was leaving on a flight that same day. So if we can make the interview for that day, that would be perfect. So he went upstairs, he talked to the partner, and then they brought me up for an interview.
Well, that's cool, man. I mean, shoot your shot. Like, listen, man, it's got to be today or it's never. I would never think that that would work, but here you are.
So did it work out? Did you get the job, Sam?
I was going to get the job. Unfortunately, because of my whole social media push, they want to hold back. At the same time, the man in the suit that gave me the interview brought me up. He gave me a direct call. He told me he was so proud of me. He loved what I did. And it was just unfortunate that his partner just wants to play it safe. So I understand their position fully, and it's unfortunate. The whole thing is, he reached out to me and he said, don't worry, man, I'm your friend. The right role will come at the right time, and I'll even work on it with you.
Do you think that this was a good opportunity? Yes or no?
Yeah, to be honest with you, a lot of people in my comments even said go to like Midtown, and I wasn't even in the right place, apparently. All the firms left Wall Street. So, yeah, I would do it again for sure, but I'm not going to do it again on like a social media. The whole goal was to just get my name out there, and I'm kind of over social media at this point.
Mm. Well, it seems, Sam, like, I mean, honestly, it seems like this is the launch of another platform for you, to tell you the truth. Your story is certainly one that people can connect to. And obviously, you have a philosophy behind this.
All right. Well, Sam, thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
And good luck on your journey, man. Appreciate you. We'll be following up.
Maybe wearing a sign on Wall Street wasn't the way to do it, but did you have a unique way you got your job? How? 1-800-330-9999. It's hard to get a new job. Now, more than ever, it feels like. And this guy went viral because he went to Wall Street because he so desperately wanted a job, created a giant sign with a link to a QR code that brought him to his LinkedIn page, begging people for the opportunity for an interview.
I think the hardest part today nowadays is that I don't know how much harder it is to get a job. It's hard to get in front of the person who gives the job out, right? Like, who actually does the hiring. Like, you got to get past the robots, the bots, all that stuff.
Yeah. What was the unique way you got your job? Let's help each other out. 1-800-330-9999. Tammy.
I was out of a job for a while, and so I basically asked ChatGPT, like, give me one thing a month I can do to try to get a good job, and I followed every single one, and eventually I did get a job. I actually ended up getting a couple of job offers.
What did it tell you to do?
Oh, like little tips. Like, one day it was like, oh, you should reach out to 10 different job applications and just give them a random fact about you in the subject line. Like, hi, my name is Maggie, or whatever your name is, and I can say the alphabet backwards. Or like, hi, my name is Tina, and I love chocolate cake. Like, just put like some random fact in the subject line.
Raven gets upset when I talk about it, but ChatGPT is so smart, and the ideas and the concepts, rapidly improving to the point where it's the first place I go before I have to make a decision, and it helps me do my research. Even down to, where am I going to go Friday night for dinner? We're going to have a date night. What places do you suggest within 90 minutes of my house?
Here's the thing, all right? I don't dislike it. I think it's a great tool. And I think that when you say it once or twice or whatever, you look smart because people are like, oh, they're using AI and I'm not. And so where am I at, right? Clearly, they're embracing this, and that means they're more plugged in with technology. On the other hand, if we use it as our answer to every single thing that we're doing, we look like we're turning over our lives to it. So I don't hate it. I'm just saying is that you use it like a tool. Wield it like a weapon.
But that's what we do. You have to use it as a tool.
When you always say it, though, it feels like a crutch. Instead, just say that you're wielding it as a weapon. You used ChatGPT to do this. And now people know that you use it. And that's it. And that's the only time you ever have to tell them.
But how do I get my co-host to accept ChatGPT?
Oh, seriously?
Start with benefits, not technology. Explain what problem it solves. Don't know where to go for dinner? Arguing with your spouse?
We don't have time for this right now.
All right.
I also use it. I just don't remind people that I use it every minute.
Address skepticism. That's what we're doing right now. Okay. Michelle, what was the unique way you got your job?
So I was working at a cashier, and I was thinking to myself, and this lady, she's like, you're hilarious. You should come work at my daycare. The kids will love you. And first of all, I didn't know if that was really a compliment or an insult. But next thing I know, I'm getting paid to do dinosaur voices for toddlers. So here we are.
That's funny.
That's great.
You ever have somebody come to your job and see what you were doing somewhere else and then pick you up? I had that happen.
No, what happened?
So I was working a job at Applebee's. I was a server, and a guy was like, you know what? You're a heck of a salesperson. Why don't you come sell boats with me? And I went and I sold boats for a while.
How many boats did you sell?
I sold a few, but not a lot.
No.
Not enough.
He was
but
wrong.
You know, here was the thing. You sell a boat, and you make a good amount of money. You get a nice commission. You know, they weren't paying much as far as like your regular salary, but you sell a boat, you make some bucks.
So you sold 3 boats and you retired?
No, I just moved.
I've never been poached from a job for another job.
It's cool. It's a good feeling. But at the same time, I was making plenty of money at Applebee's, man. I was slanging those riblets. Mm-hmm. I was getting paid.
1-800-330-9999. Unique way you got your job. How'd you do it? Man went viral for parading around Wall Street with a giant sign strapped to him begging for a job. It's desperate times call for desperate measures. What was the unique way you got your job? Let's help each other out. 1-800-330-9999. Jim.
This is crazy. When I was 22 years old, I just got out of college. You know, there was no jobs out there. I found out where I lived, there was a school going to open up, a high school. So I went to the high school. There's nobody there yet. It's not opened. I found out the name of the principal that was going to come in, and he was in another district. So I went to this other school, and he says to me, "Why are you here?" You know, I said, he says, "I have no jobs here." I said, "No, I'm looking for a job in the new school that you're going to go to in 4 months." And he looked at me like I was crazy. Like, apparently he was struck by my forwardness. I guess that's the word. Called the other school. Said, "Bring this guy in." And lo and behold, he hired me. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Everybody thought I was crazy. I worked there for 30 years.
I think being proactive and going above, I think a lot of people don't do it because they feel that they should be embarrassed or that they're going to get laughed at.
It's against the rules, right, or something like that, right? Etiquette is wrong. But I like to see somebody that's eager above everything, of course.
Yeah, and takes initiative.
Hey, Jose, how about you? You got your current job in a unique way. What happened?
So it's gonna be a bit strange, but I used to work for my buddies. He used to sell palm trees. Mm-hmm. Sells palm trees. Yes, for rentals, for parties, you know, for events like that. So I would deliver literally palm trees, like in pots.
Yeah.
And while doing that, one of my boy's partners, she said, "You know, oh, you speak Spanish. You're very fluent. You're very great with people. I see how you are in customer service. You know what would be great for you? You should work at the government center helping people test them for HIV and hepatitis C. I'm like, "Wait, what the hell? How do I even get into that? I never even went to school for medicine and none of that."
Yeah.
Like, "No, you don't need it. You just need a bachelor's degree, and you just need you speak Spanish. You're bilingual. So this is a very good position for you." I was like, "Okay." And that was my first actual professional job. Before that, I was doing odd jobs, working hard labor, and, you know, working for my boy's palm tree.
Yeah, now, Jose, you're a surgeon.
Right.
We're so proud of you.
And you can put palm trees in your backyard with no problem because you know how to do it.
Yep.
I could recommend you a good spindle palm tree for the summer and make sure, you know, you're well. Make sure your blood pressure is good.
That's wild, Jose.
Not too many hot dogs now.
Life's a trip, man, right?
You never know
where it's going to take you, man. Thanks for the call.
Stay blessed, everybody. Have a good one.
Pablo, how'd you get your job?
Actually, insulted the boss. I mean, I was already working there, but I was about to quit, and I was just saying that it's like, you know, you guys, you're a boss, but you're not a leader. Nobody's really here to follow you. You guys just signed the checks, and I was just saying, if you really want a good cohesive team, you have to have people that are willing to follow you, but you guys have no leadership skills. And I was saying all of this stuff just to be honest and assuming that that was my exit interview, and they were like, "Well, why don't you be the manager?" And I was like, "Okay."
They were like, "We'll shut this guy up.
Right.
Watch this. We'll pay you right off. Now you're one of us. Sell out."
I'm not sure that'll work in every situation.
I love it.
You know what, Raven? Now that I think about it, we poached D. One of the women that work with us, she has one of the biggest personalities I've ever met in my life. And she was working a golf tournament that Raven and I were hosting. I thought, she's nuts and she belongs with us.
Yeah, you said go ahead and reach out to this person. Yeah, she's been here ever since.
Yeah, it's been like 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And next week we'll be talking to her because she's going to be on that new show on Fox, 99 to Beat. You never know what's going to happen.
One of the greatest advantages of being able to make small talk is that it opens a lot of doors for you and gives you opportunities.
Yeah, networking, sales, anything. Life is sales, a lot of people say, right, Anna?
Absolutely. And we've been talking about how do you find a job? Out of the box ways to start conversations with people and to lead down that hallway, I guess. Adam Parati is one of our sales managers here. And Adam, you have a gift of gab when it comes to small talk.
Yeah, I really enjoy just talking to people and, you know, the silence could really be uncomfortable for a lot of people. And I like to really just bring on that conversation.
And they say, Adam, the three most important functions of small talk is that it elevates everybody's mood and makes you feel more opened. Number two, it gives you the ability to gather information. So in a situation like you as a sales guy, it helps you sell stuff.
Absolutely. Get them talking, yeah. Right? And then you attack the things that you learn about them.
And it builds trust with people.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, Adam, so we're not going to find ourselves in any sales situations anytime soon, but we do find ourselves in the same situations that people do when there's awkward moments. So how do we go ahead and pivot from those? We figured Anna and I would give you some scenarios.
Awesome.
I'm at a car dealership service waiting room, and I've got somebody who wants to talk about religion or politics. How do I pivot out of this thing?
I would, you know, immediately just asking the person, you know, what they watch for the news, you know, and it'll kind of divert the situation away from, you know, maybe a specific politician or a specific religion and get them talking about, you know, a specific program that they watch and not really give my opinion as to if I like the program or if I don't like the program.
That's See what true. He did there?
Fascinating.
Anna? Yeah, he made them feel like they were important and right. that he cared about what they were saying. And also he's either to gather more information on how crazy they are.
Right. Exactly.
Very crafty.
Exactly.
You've been sitting in a hospital waiting room for 17 hours. How do you talk to the person next to you? Because at this point, you're so bored, you don't know what to do.
Yeah. Hopefully there's a TV in that waiting room. So something is running and I could be observing. And now I would just probably reference whatever is on that TV and say, you know, I wish that they could change the channel. I'd much rather be watching Monday Night Football right now. If, you know, the game is on, make a comment about the game or that TV show that is on.
Adam Prati is a expert in small talk. Adam, you are talking to the obsessive sports fan. You mentioned the game. He knows everything there is to know about sports and your team is stupid. How do you handle yourself in this conversation?
Yeah, I would just start talking about their team. And again, my team, if they're not doing great and they kind of stink, not going to make it about my team. Rather just focus on their team and their players. Looking ahead at some upcoming games.
I'm going to throw one at you that's probably the most difficult. A random teenager sitting next to you in silence.
Oh, and they're looking at their phone half the time. Uh-huh. And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely a tough one. You could, you know, you could kind of take that silly approach and just...
What tickle Raven them? Should you tickle them?
Yeah, tickle them. Exactly.
That's a good idea.
I don't think
or,
so.
You know, you find a popular meme. You know, I usually see Raven going around the office doing 6-7 or something. So I'd probably reference like a viral TikTok that I've been seeing or some trend. So
it's a dangerous gamble.
Yeah.
Because if it's on par, then they're like, oh, this guy knows stuff. He could be a creep. If it's a little bit late, then it's like, boomer.
Yeah.
Wow. Raven's going to be like, did you watch that rerun of Maury Povich?
Right.
That was crazy.
Adam's technique, though, I'm picking up on here, Anna, is get them talking about themselves and eventually they'll tire themselves out.
Is that the goal, though, is that when it comes to small talk, is get them talking about themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like if you open up the conversation about you, they're going to just be listening. Whereas if you could open it up with a question about them and immediately that's the small talk. So always just making it about them and what they're interested in.
Yeah, be observant and make it about them. It's actually really good advice. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, of course.
She's getting a pontoon. A pontoon!
Who is?
My friend. It was the craziest text I think I've ever gotten, certainly in years. It said, hey, decided that I'm retiring, bought a place in Myrtle Beach, leaving on Tuesday.
Wow.
And I was like, what? It's my sorority sister.
Mm-hmm.
She's 43 years old.
Wow.
And I said,
good for her.
What are you doing? She's like, I'm done. She's like, I don't want to do it anymore. She's like, I saw a great deal on a house. It's right on a lake. And she's like, I'm going to buy a pontoon. I'm going to have my garden and I'm going to go live my life.
Okay. Fantastic. Is she married? Kids?
Yeah.
Like
she's
that?
Married. No kids.
Yeah. Okay.
Married. No kids. I think that I always think that has a lot to do with it is the kids thing. They just take every dime you have
yeah,
for the rest of your life.
They're expensive. And of course, you know, you've got to make sure that you're helping them plan out their life and make sure that it's successful. But 43 years old. I mean, she obviously made some pretty good decisions along the way to be able to do it. Good for her.
Yeah. No, she definitely has. And she's worked really hard and she's very smart and you know, all the power to her. And all I kept thinking was, wow, I'm jealous.
Right.
How did you do that?
Can you take me with you?
It was like the double-edged sword because I'm thinking like, wow, to be able to retire early is such a luxury. I mean, most people don't get to do that, right?
Yeah.
And be able to financially retire early and still be able to go live your life. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But also, I think I'd get bored. Like, well, if I don't have my work,
I'd like to try. It's like one of those things where they say money can't buy you happiness. I've done it broke before. I'd like to try it with the money. So I'd do the same thing. Like, I'd like to try and keep myself busy.
I would work with, you know, I've had the pleasure to work with incredible charity organizations. And I would like to think I would just volunteer my time to help them out.
I mean, maybe you would. Maybe you wouldn't.
Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I just go fly around the world and do whatever.
Maybe you just do you.
If you retired early, how did you do it? And do you still get bored? 1-800-330-9999. Michael?
I did. Well, it was a family business. It's a coffee truck business. When my father passed, so we're coming up on 11 years now. I'm 57 now. I just got out of it. I sold everything left, and it wasn't the same no more.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear about the loss. I mean, I know it was a while ago, but that can be devastating. So you lost your father 11 years ago, got out shortly after that. Was it the fact that we just couldn't do it the same way? It didn't feel the same carrying on, or...
Or were you like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm set. I'm happy. And I'm just going to go live my life now.
Yeah, let's step away from this.
I mean, me and my dad, you know, I did it from, like, I can remember as far back as 6 years old. You know, that's when I started at the place. So when he passed, I was in a mob family. I grew up in a mob family. We were mob, you know, mob related with the Bonanno family. And, you know, it was a crazy life. I'll tell you that. You know, it was nuts from... I had a great life. I had a really charmed, unbelievable life.
Michael, how old were you when you said, I'm done, and you officially retired?
47.
Wow. Perfect. That's like my dream come true. Now,
I'm going to tell you this.
What do you do for fun now? What do you do to occupy your time?
Well, I do golfing and fishing. You know, all the. I actually do a lot of DoorDash. I love it.
No kidding.
I don't have to do it. My family, you know, they freak out because... I'm very successful in the coffee truck business, and they're like, "Why are you still working?" I'm like, "I don't consider it work. I love doing it. I drive around,
running around, yeah.
I'm very happy.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, something to do. Yeah,
yeah.
Keep yourself busy. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh,
until the next golf tournament and fishing tournament, right?
So I need the mob and I need a coffee truck. All right, got
what?
It. 1-800-330-9999. Did you retire early? How'd you do it? And what do you do now? She's going to buy a pontoon and have a garden that she's always wanted.
Mm.
Doesn't that sound amazing?
It does sound amazing. And to be doing that at 43, my hat's off to your girlfriend. Congratulations to her.
Yeah. So one of my friends said that she is retiring early. She sent me a text. She's found a great deal on a place in Myrtle Beach. She says she bought a house and it's on a lake and that's where she's going. And that was the end of the story. She had worked hard her whole life and she can do it. And I just kept thinking, wow, if you could retire early... How did you do it, and are you bored now? I just got on the text, marry a sugar daddy, and that's about to die.
Oh,
that's not a good way to retire early.
Yeah, but no. I mean, it's a tried and true method as well.
It's had valid results.
Let's say that you didn't have, you know, $1 million of debt with your kids going into college and whatnot in the future and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's say that you could retire right now.
Yep.
What would that look like to you? A lake house, a pontoon, or something else?
Yeah, I think it would. I think that her dream of the garden and the pontoon, I think I'd just copy her dream.
Right. Like, are your neighbors for sale?
Yeah, I don't know. It would be pretty cool, though, right? 1-800-330-9999. If you were able to retire early, how did you do it? How old were you? And what do you do now so you're not bored?
My best friend from high school retired early. He went to college and was a computer science major. And as part of his senior thesis, he created an app. Got a bunch of users on the app and sold it for like $25 million. And then just played poker tournaments and sat on his boat and eventually started a family. And he just basically does whatever he wants.
How old was he when he sold it?
Like 22.
When I hear stories like this,
wow!
I always say to my daughter, figure out AI and make it better. And like, because it's up to you now to save this whole family.
Yeah. we put that pressure on you now at this point. It's interesting to me that at 22, make all that money and then just travel, right? I'd be thinking that you'd be looking towards the next thing, right?
But $25 million. I mean, even if you walk away with half after taxes or however the heck that
works.
Oh, I'm
sure he's way beyond figuring that out, Anna.
Yeah.
I mean, he developed the app, so I'm sure he figured out a way to hold on to more of it than that.
Did he ever feel bored?
You know, I think when he felt bored, he'd just pick up a new hobby.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what
there's
I would
always
do.
He golfs a lot now. He goes to Scotland on golfing trips and things like that.
Be like ice sailing.
So, yeah.
So
yeah,
cool.
Diving. Right.
Does he ever just take you places and pay for you?
Squirrel suit. Flying.
Yeah. Very generous. Yeah. With his friends.
That's so cool. Yeah. I always wanted to have a super rich friend like Taylor Swift that just brings me on yachts and stuff. I'm available.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to take me out.
You're looking for a friend outreach program. Right. Like, you know, someday UNICEF will get into friend outreach. Then we're the people to see.
Addison, did you retire early or you know somebody that did?
Oh, one of my older friends, they have a lot of real estate and they were able to retire and they just do whatever they want all the time.
How old are they?
45.
That's pretty nice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So do they do like the Airbnbs and the rentals? How do they make money on real estate?
They just have actual rentals in LA where you can charge a lot.
Yeah, man. When I was like 40, I had a 45-year-old plan. Then I moved that line. Then I moved that line.
My dad says it all the time. My dad first was going to retire when he was 50. Then he was going to retire when he was 55. Then he was going to retire when he was 60. Then he said he's going to retire when he's 65. And he's 65 now. And I can tell you something. He's going to make pizzas later.
Right.
You know, like, not retiring today. Not today. Clocked it. Did it. Clocked it. Clocked it.
All right.
Clocked it. So, it's your teenager's new favorite phrase, and you've probably been hearing it a lot along with 6-7.
Oh, yeah. 6-7.
6-7.
That's my favorite phrase.
Oh, my gosh. Yesterday at my house, Raven and intern Logan... Dakota, my little one, is 6.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready for her birthday party. She's going to be turning 7 soon.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So that's going to be the theme of everything, right?
Oh, my gosh. I said, so my, you know, my older daughter asked her, how old are you turning? And she said 6. And then she's like, no, 7. 6-7.
6-7.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem.
That's definitely where it came from.
All right. So clocked it. You're going to be hearing it a lot. It's a new phrase that a lot of kids are using. And we like to use this time to educate everybody on the new phrases that the teenagers are using. Intern Logan, this is your first time on the air with us. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
All right. So you...
I mean, he talks this way then.
Yeah, he knows. You know what clocked it means, right?
Unfortunately, I do.
All right. What do you think it means?
Honestly, it means, like, okay, I've got it, of that nature.
I peeped it.
Yeah.
I seen it. I get it. I love it. I feel it.
So there's a lady that went viral because she was explaining, a teacher.
Mm-hmm. There is no one meaning for clocked it. Here we go. So you've got a compliment, as in, like, your outfit slay. Clocked it. Your nails look nice. Clocked it. Complimenting you. Okay. Ooh, clocked it. And they noticed.
Yeah, clocked noticed. It. Noticed. Mm-hmm.
You
right.
noticed.
Like, I seen it. Right. Yeah. I picked up on it.
Yeah, some of these I'm too young for.
All right, so here's the thing, is that there has been, actually, on Google Trends, it's been all the new slang.
Okay.
And we figured, let's play a game. I am going to ring in with my bell.
Mm-hmm.
Raven, you're going to ring in with the dog toy. And Logan, you're going to give us a quiz on some of these so we can see what new words we should be knowing.
You know, we've been playing this game a long time, Logan, and I used to be so much better at it.
You know nothing anymore.
No, it's not good anymore.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not good.
I think I struggle myself with some of these, to be honest with you. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what we can do.
Go ahead. Give us one, Logan.
All right. Pressed.
Pressed. I'm going to say... Dang.
Anna?
You've got to make a decision really fast.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Oh, I'm going to say... It means that you look good. Everything is cleaned up. You ironed?
You're both wrong.
So oh, no.
It means that you're upset or stressed about something.
I mean, under pressure, pressed.
Yeah.
I get that. I'll remember it now because I said it that way.
I would have kind of gave it to you.
Maybe Hayden will tell you.
All right, here we go. Next one.
0-0.
There we go.
For the plot. I heard Anna's first.
It's basically like your life. It's for your story. It's for the social media. It's explaining your story.
Yeah, I'm giving that.
Tell me why.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, yeah. All right. That's pretty good. I got to be quicker with my.
Absolutely. So Anna 1, Raven 0.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Italian brain rot. Anna?
Actually, go ahead, Raven. You explain it.
Go ahead, Raven.
I don't know that one. I just wanted to get in there. I don't know.
Cappuccino ballerina. That's Italian brain rot. Italian brain rot is this whole concept of mixing different items using AI and then people like make them into memes. So cappuccino ballerina is a combination of a cup and a ballerina. And she's very popular. Everybody knows about Italian brain rot. I had to Google it and learn a lot about it because I felt dumb when I didn't know what anybody was talking about.
Yeah, 100%. That's 100% right. And let me tell you, I think I'm too old for this generation. Like, I didn't know what that was. Anna, you have younger kids, so I think you might have a better understanding.
Well, she's Italian. She's definitely got to protect herself.
Too.
Yeah. Not Italian enough.
My grandmother doesn't know. All right.
No, I can guarantee you my nonna did not know what cappuccino ballerina is. All right, so we are going to do more of this and see if we can learn some more coming up next.
It's all you do something like a TikTok trend or something that they liked, okay? And they say, oh, clocked it. Like they saw it and they noted it. They clocked it.
Clocked it, the number one searched phrase on Google right now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Means you've seen it, means you noticed it, means you picked up on it, clocked it.
You're aware of it.
Yep. Intern Logan, there's a lot of teenager slang that we still have to learn. And you're 20, and we figured you would help us learn it. So I'm currently leading Raven 2-1 in our competition. I ring in with this sound. That's my bell. Raven uses the dog toy.
I'm ready.
Let's hear the next term that we should learn.
What is a situationship? Raven?
It means like it's like friends with benefits. Situationship is like, you know, we spend time when it makes sense for us, but there's not a lot of big hang-ups on it or whatever.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's the right answer.
Oh, my gosh. Now we're tied at two.
Now the stakes really get high.
Yeah.
How about rent-free? Raven? Oh.
It means like they're living in, you're on their mind. Like, you know, somebody's occupying space in your head rent free. It means like, you know, you're all concerned about what it is I'm doing and I'm just out here living my life. I don't care what you think, but you noticing me because I'm a big deal.
The comeback kid is here. That is correct.
Oh my gosh. I got to wake up on this.
Are you sweating over there? Are you nervous?
Not really.
Okay. Wait a minute. Here we go. So
Raven 3-2 lead. A skill issue. Anna?
A skill issue is when you're dumb.
I need more explanation than that.
It's when you, it's like you're having problems processing things, even though it's so obvious and you have a skill issue.
Tied the ball game, 3-3.
Wow. Yeah.
All right.
Tied the game.
I mean, I tried to simplify it. I had to simplify it. Means, you know.
I had nothing on that one. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
A hard launch. Anna?
It's the opposite of a soft launch.
Come on!
It's the opposite of a soft launch. It's basically you announce your relationship right away out in the public for everybody.
That is correct.
Yes.
That is right.
Yeah. You don't hear about a lot of hard... So here's the thing, Logan. I don't know if you do this too, but what I've learned from observing and stalking my teenager is that you don't just... Remember when you would like a girl and then you'd be like, do you want to be my girlfriend? And then you would just be a boyfriend, girlfriend.
No, you got to work it out.
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Now it's like you're in that quote unquote situationship where you're just dating or you're just snapping each other. And that is for a prolonged period where you may be talking to other people before you take the next step
you're
into relationship.
Taking up a lot of game time right now.
No, I'm sorry.
All right, and I have to have the opportunity to tie. What's the score right now?
4-3.
Okay. Here we go. Focus.
Okay.
What is a bop?
Oh.
Anna?
It's something good. It makes you happy. It's a bop. It's something... People use it like also, okay, it's a bop. Bop. Bop.
Done deal.
Yep.
What?
That's right.
Come on!
That's right.
I didn't think it was that.
No?
I had a different answer.
Well, what would you have?
I was going to... You touch somebody on their nose and you go, bop.
No.
No, we do that with
you, baby. I think it's more of a boop than a bop.
Yeah,
you know
it
what I mean?
A boop. It might be a boop.
Bop. Yes. All right, let's do one more, even though I've already officially won. Okay.
How about... O-P. The two letters O-P next to each other. Raven?
Op. Something I gotta do? Something that's gotta happen. An op is like something that we... Or it's an opinion?
Nope.
It's,
no.
Anna, what do you got?
O-P-P. How can I explain it? I take a frame and frame it. To have y'all jump and shout and say
you know it. I was hoping that was gonna be the answer.
I wish you both were right, but those were both wrong.
Hold on. Let's go the other way. Logan, can you tell me what OPP stands for?
Just what? It's only one P.
I know.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what it is.
He doesn't even know what it is.
I think you forget I'm only 20 years old
Yeah,
here.
Well,
this game is over.
Maybe we should play it the other way.
What couple?
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
You create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is presented by T-Mobile. It's better over here. See how at T-Mobile.com/magenta status. Henry and Olivia. Olivia, what's going on?
Well, I'm in this like weird situation again. My mother-in-law sent a message to, you know, the family group chat with all the siblings and everything that she plans on hosting Thanksgiving this year. And it was our year to host. Like, me and my husband had planned on it for the last year. So I texted back and I was like, I thought it was at our home this year, and nobody responded.
Oh.
And I'm just upset. And like, honestly, I just want my husband to stand up for us, to like call his mother and tell her like, hey, it's our turn to host. Like, you've done it before several times. And I don't know, he never wants to stand up to her. And I'm just over it.
It's the worst when you text a group chain and then nobody responds.
Yeah.
Because it makes you wonder, are they having a conversation on the side about what I said? It's the worst.
No, I hate that. And it goes on, you know, more often than some people would like, right? And sometimes you feel like it only goes on when I am the one saying something. And that's hurtful. And that's not fun. But this whole, the battle over the holidays thing, it's such a real thing.
And it's people, happening already?
They get so upset. Well, you know, somebody tried to think that they were going to be in front of it.
Yeah.
She thought mom thought she was going to steal this thunder, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to jump to it. But Henry, what's your side of this?
Well, it's not really a thunder situation. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of cooking. It's a lot of preparation. It's a lot of mess that if she's willing to take it on, I mean, let her do it. I mean, I don't understand why she wants to do it so much. It's so much work. But, you know, I really don't want to be the one to tell her. It's not my job necessarily. I mean, if everyone had jumped in on that group chat and said, hey, it's her turn and whatever, then I'd see it. But I don't.
Olivia, it's your turn to host.
Yeah, I mean, it's our turn. We've been going to all the other respective places, and there's something nice. I mean, yes, I'm going to have to do work, but everybody brings something, you know, and it's like, I'd like to be in my own home.
Yeah, that's the thing is, right? I was just going to say that is, for every holiday, people like to be in their home, especially the big nesting holidays, right? Like, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, it feels like that. I mean, at least that's the way it feels to me. It's nostalgic in that way. And I'm sure that's the same reason that it's that way for your mother, too. She wants her family all in her house and, you know, they're doing it. But I don't know.
I apologize that I keep asking the same question over and over, because if she is calling it because it's early and she wants to host it, that's one conversation. If there is a set way that you guys have decided before.
Right, a rotation.
And right. It's your turn in the rotation. That's a different story. Which one is it?
It is our turn in the rotation. It goes my mom and then the two sisters and then us. And this is the fourth year, which would be us. But I mean.
So then you get bumped for 5 years, 4 years, another 3 years?
Right. If it's got to go mom, two sisters, then her, and it's your turn. No, that's a different story. Then Olivia, you have an argument, I think. But let's see what the audience has to say. Should Henry have to call his mother and say it was wrong that you did that and that it's our turn to host and that's how it's going to be?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
There's supposed to be a rotation. And how the rotation goes when it comes to who's hosting Thanksgiving is her mother-in-law, the two sister-in-laws, and then her. And it's year four. And you know what? Mother-in-law just texted and said, you know what? I'm going to host Thanksgiving again this year. And then when she wrote, it's our turn, nobody responded.
Crickets out there, Anna. Mm-hmm. That's what you got. Including from her own husband, Henry, who didn't tell his mother. Listen, let me correct you on that one. This is our year and we've been thinking about this and getting ready for this. And that's all Olivia wants. Call your mom. Tell her that. Listen, we're doing this. This was the plan. This is the rotation. This is what's fair. This is what we want.
Well, Henry says you don't want to host it anyway. You don't want to cook and have all the people over. What's the big deal? If she wants to host it, just let her host it. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Diana.
I am on the wife's side. Shame on the husband that he can't have a conversation with his mother. He's supposed to be a grown man, married. It's their turn. What is he afraid of?
Yeah.
I mean, pick up for your wife.
Thanks, Diane. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. If it's your turn in the rotation to host Thanksgiving, but your mother-in-law texts the group chat and says, I'm going to host this year, and nobody says anything when you respond, hey, but it was our turn, what would you do? That's what's going on with Henry and Olivia.
It's a sticky situation, right? Because when you put this out there, especially with your in-laws, you know, not just the in-law parents, but the other siblings too, and nobody's got your back, you feel like you're alone. You turn to your husband and say, Henry, do something. But Olivia's not getting any glory from him.
No, Henry says, I'm not getting involved. You don't even want to host anyway. You're just doing this out of spite. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Mike, whose side are you on?
I'm absolutely on the wife's side. I think I heard the husband say it's not his place to step up. It absolutely is your place. If you don't take up this fight for your wife, you're not going to fight any battle for her. Be a man. Talk to your mommy. Straighten it out.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a great day.
I like how he laid it out like that.
Hi, Anna and Raven. What do you say? Whose side are you on today?
I am definitely on the wife's side. Respectfully, the husband needs to man up and stick up for his wife. If it's their turn, it's their turn. And he's just to his attitude about it, that it's not his place. Mm. It's definitely his place. It's his mother. It's his sister's. He has to stick up for his wife and say, no, it's our turn. My wife has been planning this. Be at our house or we won't be at Thanksgiving with you guys.
Yeah, it struck a chord, huh? Thanks for the call,
Thank
Jamie.
You.
Have a great day.
PD, what do you think?
I'm kind of on the dad's side, like the husband's side, because as the wife, she should have a great relationship with her mother-in-law to talk to the mother-in-law. Me talking to my mom about anything is kind of tough, and he's the only guy inside the situation, so he's in the lose-lose situation. So I'm going on the guy's side. I think he should just stay out of it.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Olivia, our audience agreed with you. If it's your turn, and it is, Henry, you have to talk to your mom and say what she did was not right, and it's your turn to host, and you would like to have it at your home.
Well, I think the jury has spoken on this thing, you know, but, you know, all right, I'll do it. But, you know, nobody responded to that group text, and everyone's happy with that, but all right.
I mean, I don't know that they're necessarily happy as much as they're afraid of your mother, which you are too, right? So I don't know. Olivia, this is you. You got the votes. You sought validation, and you have it. So, you know, I hope it all works out. But either way, you came out on top.
I love to hear that. It's just one of those frustrating situations where I feel like no matter what, I don't win. Because I don't like to have to beg people, like, no matter what, you know?
Yeah, it's not fair and it's not fun.
Yeah. All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$6,200 is a jackpot for Can't Beat Raven. Jen, you know your stuff?
Yes, I do.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. You have to take him down.
So.
You have to take him down, okay?
Okay, I'll try.
All right, can you please ask him to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. $6,200. Here we go.
Okay. All right, Raven's walking out of here. That big old studio door is going to close. Now, Jen, no extra pressure, but Raven's going to be off the next 2 days. So if you don't take him down, we got to wait till Monday to play again, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you those questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. He gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven, okay?
Okay.
Number one, Elton John underwent a double knee replacement last year and had his kneecaps made into jewelry. Elton John is famous for playing what instrument?
Piano.
Number two, Emmys were on Sunday night. What sketch comedy show has won the most Emmys in history with over 90?
Saturday Night Live.
Number three, the Nickelodeon Splat Pack was announced for the Nintendo Switch with a new collection of classic titles, including Rocco's Modern Life. What type of animal is Rocco?
A dog.
Number four, the Summer I Turned Pretty series finale is available today, and we finally find out who Belly ends up with. What are the brothers' names, the two brothers?
I don't know.
And number five, Kris Jenner's official campaign has dropped after being leaked online. It was for what makeup company?
MAC.
Okay, let me bring Raven back.
Yo.
It might be enough, Jen. Jen got 3 out of 5.
Okay, not great, not terrible. $6,200. Here we go. Sounds like they're tricky.
Number one, Elton John underwent a double knee replacement last year and had the kneecaps made into jewelry.
Yeah.
Elton John is famous for playing what instrument?
Plays the piano.
That's right. Also, gross. Who needs your kneecaps made into jewelry?
Yeah, you know what? But it's funny because in the line he said, this is something that will last for centuries. And I think he's very much thinking to himself, people will still be talking about him 200 years from now.
And his kneecaps. Number two, Emmys were on Sunday night. What sketch comedy show has won the most Emmys in history with over 90?
Wasn't it The Studio? Or no, in history, I'm going to say SNL.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, number three, the Nickelodeon Splat Pack was announced for the Nintendo Switch with a new collection of classic titles, including Rocco's Modern Life.
Okay.
What type of animal is Rocco?
Is he a wallaby?
He is a wallaby.
Yeah.
Never in a million years did I think you would know that. All right.
Well, you got to know your wallabies. I'm sorry.
Number four, the Summer I Turned Pretty series finale is available today, and we finally found out who Belly ends up with.
Okay.
What are the brothers' names?
Oh, gosh. Was one of them Jeremiah? I don't know.
Jeremiah and Conrad.
All right. Which one did she pick? Did she pick the bad boy?
And we can't talk about it. It's a spoiler.
It's got to be the bad boy.
Just went out today, so I won't talk about it for 6 months. Otherwise, I'll get hate emails.
I'm telling you, it's the bad boy.
Number five. Kris Jenner's official campaign has dropped after being leaked online. It was for what makeup company?
Gosh, I thought I just saw this. L'Oreal?
No, MAC. You guys tied at three. Jen, I didn't think he would know Wallaby. I never thought. I thought if he was going to say anything and he was going to say kangaroo, and I was wrong, and that was close, and I'm sorry, Jen.
You wanted to slam the door on me. Kangaroo.
Yeah. All right, so.
That's all right.
You get this cool t-shirt. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Oh, well, this is Jen, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Good game. $6,300 come Monday, Anna.
That was disappointing. I also want to thank Jeff. He supplied one of the questions I used today. And if you have an idea for a question, too, you can submit it at annaandraven.com.